Father, we thank you. We thank you for the freedom in which we have to enter into your house tonight with gladness and with praise and thanksgiving on our hearts for you, Lord God, for what you have done in our lives. It's so good, Lord God, to give you that thanks and praise. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you to come and to move in and through our lives. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, that you would prepare our hearts for what we're about to hear this evening. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us tonight. Lord, as we open up your word, we pray that you would open it up afresh to us this evening. Teach us, Lord. Reveal your truths, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So a couple of apologies. We're sorry for the screen above me not working. It is on at the sides. The verses should come up on the sides. And I think I don't need to tell you because you're all wearing your coats. But we were a bit late, unfortunately, in getting the heating on. It takes a long time to heat this big room up. So apologies for that. Probably by the end of the session, you'll be taking your coats back off again. But it'll be nice and cozy tomorrow. So you can come back tomorrow if you wish. We're roasting. So I hope you've all, have you enjoyed the series, actually? Yeah, we've all enjoyed the series. Well, tonight is our final installment in the story of Abraham. And as Mary has already shared, next week we're going to get an opportunity together to have some group time. That's when we get together in our groups and we have a good old chat about what God has spoken to you individually, what's been highlighted to you in this series, what nuggets, what gems have been unfolded for you as we have journeyed through this story of Abraham. And then we'll have a bit of time of prayer. And the feedback from a couple of weeks ago is that you really enjoyed praying with each other for the different situations that are going on in your life. So we're going to have a time of that next Thursday. Please come along. Don't be saying, oh, I'm not going to go to that one because I don't like talking. That's okay. You don't have to share, but you can sit and you can listen. It's really good to hear testimony. So come along next week. Look forward to that. So far in the life of our hero, Abraham, we've looked at becoming a friend of God. We have heard that in order to walk closely and intimately with the Father, as Abraham did, we need to do a few things. We need to leave everything behind. We took 2 weeks, in fact, to look at that. Then we need to let everything go. Perhaps the Holy Spirit prompted you that session to let some stuff go. Then we moved on and we looked in particular at prayer. Abraham was a man of prayer and we see him lifting everything up to God. Do you believe that God answers prayers? Amen. Then last week, we looked at the old nature battling with the new nature. The old flesh battling with the spirit man within. It was a great session on casting everything out. So tonight, in our final installment, we're going to lay everything down. We're laying everything down. So what might you need to lay down? Have a think about that. Let me ask you a question. What is your most precious possession? Apart from salvation, what would you cling onto? If you had 3 minutes to leave your house, what is that most precious thing that you would want to ensure that you had with you? So why don't you, just for a minute or two, with your partner, just have a quick chat. You've got 3 minutes to leave your house. What would you take with you? Just double up. The three ladies over there, have a chat. That's it. know, if you were to ask that question to many, the answer would probably be, and what is most precious to you, the answer for many would most probably be life. That life, although some of you might have said you're straighteners. Yeah, your favourite perfume. Life, whether that's physical life, spiritual life, the life of your family, your children, or perhaps your grandchildren. You see, life is important. Let me share with you a story that I heard many years ago. A plane took off, and when flying over the mountains, the engine began to fail. The plane started to lose control and was heading for the mountains. Sadly, the plane crashed. The crisis team turned up to clean up the remains, as there was no way anyone had survived the crash. However, as one member of the team was clearing away the rubble, they heard a noise, and it sounded like a small whimper. It was coming from a dead man that was bent over an airline seat. The crisis team lifted the dead man's body to find underneath the man a small child alive. In desperation, the child's father had thrown himself on top of the little one in order to save her life. Life is precious. God knows that. God knows that the life of your children and grandchildren are important to you. And knowing that life is so precious, God gave up the life of his child, his son, to demonstrate his great love for us. John 15, verse 13, I know you know this. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what you are. You are a friend of God. And this is exactly what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for us. Why? Well, because I've said it already. Out of love. So that we may live loved. So that we may know his love. So that you may know that you are loved unconditionally by the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What God did for us in sacrificing his only Son may be at times hard to comprehend. For instance, would we do it? Would you sacrifice your life for the ones that you love? You might do it for your child. You might do it for your child. But would you do it for your enemies? Would you do it for your enemies? Would you do it for those you don't even know? The answer is probably not. But God did. God sacrificed his child for each and every one of us. For the good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's look at our final installment in our series, looking at Abraham, a friend of God, our hero in the faith. And after everything we have heard and learned about Abraham's turbulent life, I don't think there is any part of his life story that is as fascinating and as gripping and at times heartbreaking as this next installment that we're about to hear tonight. So let me read to you for now from Genesis 22. We're in chapter 22 now. I'm going to read 1 to 22 if you have your own Bibles. But as I said, it should come up on the TV screens to my left and to my right. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he'd cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took a knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and he said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Amen, and may God bless the reading of his words. This story, I don't know about you, but this story gets me every single time I read it. God commands Abraham, this man that we've been looking at for all these weeks, to take his son, that same son that we have watched over the weeks, be prayed for, awaited and promised, and God commands Abraham to take this boy up the mountain and kill him. Not only is Abraham being asked to sacrifice his son, but to give up on the promise. This was the child of promise. Remember, he is the promise keeper. The promise that God made to him, that he would have this child, and out of this child would come a mighty nation. We've spent all last session talking about it. Can you imagine what must have been going through Abraham's mind, how he felt in this moment? Here's the gift. Here's the promise. Now give me it back. Wow, why would God do such a thing? You may not know this story. You may be here and you're hearing this for this first time. And you're thinking right now, did God want this child dead? Did God really want to snatch this child from his parents? Was God going back on his promise? And if those questions are coming up in your head right now, I don't blame you for having these questions. However, sometimes we need to look a wee bit deeper into the scriptures. You see, sometimes there are little nuggets, little hidden gems that we so often skip over because we read too quickly. And it's actually in the first verse that there is comfort. Perhaps not to Abraham, right? But there's a comfort to us as the reader that we go, okay, I can read on without greeting. Because it actually says in verse 1 that God tested Abraham. This is a test, ladies. Phew! Panic over. Now that's a relief for us. Not so much for Abraham. He's the one going through it. Sometimes we go through a test, we don't know we're going through a test. Sometimes it's when we come out the other end of it that we look back and you go, ah, I was to learn something in that. Hopefully we have learned something in it. How does it make you feel tonight to know that God, our loving God, might test us? Have you ever gone through a test? I wonder. It's hard to think that we may be tested. Why though? Why would God test us? Well, here's some homework for you. We're going to have some scriptures that are going to be listed on the screen now. I think, yeah, somebody give me a thumbs up, is it? Yep. And I'm not going to read them in detail, but you can read them in your own time. Deuteronomy chapter 8 talks about testing, proving character. Obeying his commands, humbling the people. That's maybe why God would test you. Psalm 66, to purify us. 2 Corinthians, so that we become obedient. Hebrews 2, even Jesus was tested. He was tested so that he could understand us, because we ourselves would sometimes go through testing times. And then 1 Peter 1, 7, tested to make your faith genuine. God never wanted Isaac dead. It was a test. It was a test for Abraham. It was a test of surrender. We'll talk a wee bit about that on Sunday. Abraham had been walking with the Lord a long, long time. He had been with Abraham in the highs and lows. He had called on the name of the Lord. He had left everything behind to follow God's command. He had called on the name of the Lord and became a man of prayer. He entrusted everything to God. He lifted everything up in prayer. He cast it all out. And now the ultimate test. Lay it all down. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 in the New King James says that after these things, Abraham was tested. What are these things? Well, it's the things that we've been looking at, all the things that we've been looking at over the weeks that we've been looking at Abraham. After everything that Abraham had gone through, after these things, God chose to test Abraham. I wonder why he chose now. Now and not earlier on. Well, we can only assume that God's timing is perfect, right? The Bible says that he doesn't allow us to be tempted any more than we can endure. It tells us that in Corinthians. Perhaps, just a thought, if God had attested Abraham back when he was Abraham, maybe he wouldn't have passed the test. Have a think about that. Over those 40 years, Abraham had learned lessons. And we know some of those lessons, some tough lessons. He discovered who he was. He discovered who he was as a child of God. We often wonder, why God, why do you make us wait? But those of you that have had to wait and have been patient, will be able to testify, and I know that you will, that waiting produced patience in you. It increased your faith. It produced character. And God uses everything that we go through. Nothing is wasted with him. I wonder, think about your own life. Think about how long you've been walking with Jesus. Is there a way that you would respond today, for instance, to a circumstance, to a situation, to a test perhaps, that you know fine well you would never have passed 20 years ago? You would have failed. You would have failed years ago. Take anger for a minute. You know, years ago, it might have taken you 3 months to forgive somebody. with the anger just boiled inside of you. Every day you just thought up ways to punish them, ways to get them back, to seek revenge. But as the years have gone by, that 3 months maybe reduced to 2 months. And then the years go by and the Spirit works and is that wee bit more and that wee bit more. And now you're at the stage, it maybe only takes you 2 weeks. When we get to heaven, we won't have any of those feelings. Praise the Lord. Perhaps you wouldn't have passed the test back then. But after all these things, after all the things that you've been through with the Lord, it's produced character and strength and perseverance. You see, some of us have got some battle scars in the room. Some of us have been through it. And we know now, don't we? That's the voice of God. We know now that, yeah, that person's really bugged me. But God actually loves them just as much as he loves me. So I'm not going to take 3 months to forgive them. I'm going to choose today. I'm going to forgive you. How we change because of the Spirit that's living in us. So how does God refer to Abraham? Well, in verse 1, he simply calls him by name, Abraham. It was personal. It was a personal request from God to Abraham. You see, God wants to speak to you personally. He doesn't just want to speak to you through me, through your pastor, or through your friend. He wants to speak to you personally. I wonder what things he wants to share with you and speak directly to you about regarding your own personal situations right now. I wonder if there's any ways in which he's testing you. Is he testing you with your prayer life? Is he nudging you right now to say, okay then, set your alarm an hour early and get up and pray. Let's see if you can pass that test. Or maybe he's saying, be free in your worship. I'm going to test you there and see how embarrassed you are on Sunday when I see you lifting up your hands. No longer embarrassed. Is he testing you with that? Who knows? What hard things might God be asking you to sacrifice and lay down? Friends, habits, lifestyle choices. Maybe it's your time. As I've said, maybe it's about forgiving others. Let it go. Lay it down. So let's come to the sacrifice. Let's come to what Abraham had to lay down. God gives him a task to take Isaac on a 3-day journey to the Mount Moriah and sacrifice the promised child, his son, whom he loved, Isaac. So he sets out on this journey. And did you notice that he sets out early? No hesitations, no waiting around, no delays. Perhaps if he had a delayed and made himself a pot of coffee, because you know what happens. Then it opens up the thought patterns. We start to have a think about it. We have our cup of coffee. Not sure. Then Sarah gets up. Where are you going? Come on, we know how that's going to go. Come on, Mama Bears. Where do you think you're going? Oh, well, here's the thing, Sarah. You know how God's always been with us and, well, he spoke to me and, well, here's the thing, you know, our boy, well, I'm about to take him up and I'm about to put him on the altar and I'm about to put a dagger through him. Really? Aye, right. Do you think so? That's putting that situation mildly. You see, when God commands, there's no room for hesitation. There's no room to hang about and find out what everybody else thinks about it. Because you'll be distracted. People will say, no, 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 no. Don't do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking godly counsel. That's the caveat, okay? But you can see how that would have played out with Mama Bear. Absolutely, under no circumstance, over my dead body. Kill me. But you're not taking him. So what we see here is Abraham responding immediately to the voice of God. You see how the years have changed this man? All those years of walking with the Father, at times making mistakes. But he knows now. He knows it's the voice of Abba. He knows not to argue with this voice. He's learned his lessons time after time and time after time. And he knows when Abba speaks, we listen, we sit up, we pay attention, and we respond. And off they go. This man traveling with his servants, a donkey, and a teenage boy. Yes, I said it. A teenage boy. This is not a wee baby in a papoose that is completely unaware of what is taking place here. This is a teenage boy, probably from about 13 or 15 years old, that's on this journey. And you can imagine this 3-day journey. All that's going through Abraham's mind. But what about the boy? I've got a 12-year-old boy. He'd want to know, how long, Dad? How long's this actually going to take? When are we going to get there, Dad? And when we get there, Dad, what are we doing? What's all that stuff that you've brought with you? What are we going to do when we get there, Dad? Can you imagine that 3-day journey? Can you imagine the battle of the mind? Talk about reclaiming your rested mind. I don't think there was any rest on that 3-day journey. You know, this story is so very personal to me. You see, once I had to go on a 3-day journey with Jesus. And I knew that at the end of that 3 days, something life transformational was going to take place. It was either going to be good or it was going to be bad. And I had a choice. You have a choice to journey on your own, or you have a choice to journey with Jesus. And no matter what the outcome was going to be after that 3 days, and let me tell you something, it was the most devastating thing that I've ever experienced and gone through in my life. But I went through that 3-day journey with Jesus. And I believe with every part, every fiber in my being, that Abraham went through that 3-day journey with God. Because let me tell you something, you wouldn't have survived it if he hadn't. He wouldn't have got to Mount Moriah if he'd have gone in his own strength. By this time, Abraham didn't doubt who God was. He had heard him, he had saw him, he'd walked with him, he'd saw his prayers answered, he saw his promises fulfilled. He saw his loved ones saved. Remember how he saved Lot? He had a confidence in the Lord. Maybe not in himself, right? Definitely not in himself, but he had it in God. And we see the real change in Abraham. We see a real trust and a real confidence in his father. And there's another clue, and it comes in verse 5. Because when the servants are doing their thing and Abraham's about to go over there up the mountain, he turns to the servants and this is what he says. He says, "We will come back." Not I. Not we might. He says, "We will come back." You will come back together. Not I. But we. Was it wishful thinking? Was it that Abraham truly believed, you know what? He's a promise keeper. He promised me this child and he won't go back on it. Maybe it's a bit of both. Maybe it's a bit of, do you know what? I don't actually know the end of the story. I don't actually know what tomorrow will bring. But I'm going to trust him anyway. And I'm going to speak words of life. I'm going to speak words of life over this situation, even if I'm not sure. Even if my heart's still breaking. Even if my emotional strings are still being pulled right now. And even if it looks bleak, I'm still going to believe in it that God will come through. So maybe it was a bit of wishful thinking. Sometimes we might just have to say to ourselves, do you know what? This looks dire, but I believe that my God will come through. So they come to the altar. They come to the sacrifice. And oh, this bit, it gets me every time because we have these harrowing words from Isaac. "Daddy, where's the lamb?" Just let that sink in. "Father, where is the sacrifice?" It's not daft. He's a teenage boy. He had seen the sacrificial lamb being slaughtered many times, and he's starting to think, wait a minute here. If there's no lamb to be sacrificed, what or who is actually going to be sacrificed? And let me tell you something. Abraham puts that boy on the altar, straps him in. He didn't climb up and go, okay, God. Okay, Daddy. Off you go. That would not have been an easy thing. That would have been a struggle. Come on, let's think about that. Daddy, where is the lamb? How does Abraham respond to this? Well, this is where we see just such trust in God. There's a real shift in this old man's heart. There really is. This is not the same foolish man that we heard of earlier on making big daft mistakes. He responds, he says, God will provide a lamb. What do you think of that statement? There's a real confidence. There's a real trust that, you know, this is a horrific thing. I'm going through with this because I'm obeying my father, but every part of me is believing in faith that God is going to come through and he is going to provide for me. And we read this wonderful moment in the story where a voice came and the angel of the Lord, that same familiar voice that he'd heard many, many times throughout his life, that voice that I know that you have heard many, many times throughout your life, and maybe you're struggling to hear it right now, but remind yourself of the times in which you heard it in the past. Because if he did it then, he can do it again. And then we hear this voice that says, you do not need to go through with this. Hallelujah. You don't need to do it. And you can imagine them just untying Isaac and the dancing and the embracing and the hugging and the kissing and the tears and the snorters, that he does not need to sacrifice his son because the promise keeper once again has come through. Amen. And then he looks over. And what does he see? He sees the sacrifice. He sees the replacement. He sees God's provision. Open your eyes this evening and see God's provision for you. Interestingly enough, it's not a lamb. It's a ram. It's a ram. But God said he would provide a lamb, but why is it a ram and not a lamb? Some of you have guessed it. Because the lamb was still to come. Because the lamb that was slain, that was crucified on the altar of the cross, the promise of our Savior, the Messiah of the world, was still to come. The Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. That sacrifice was not just for Abraham and Isaac then, but for each and every one of us today. Then in verse 15 to 18, we're coming to the end now. We see blessing. We see God saying, because of your obedience, because of your commitment, because you trusted me, because you prayed about it, because you laid yourself down on the altar as a living sacrifice for me, I will bless you. I will bless you, I will bless you, and I will bless your children and your great-grandchildren and the generations and generations to come. What an amazing story. What a turnaround. God came through. He provided the sacrifice. The ram was chosen in Isaac's place, just as Jesus was chosen in our place. The promise maker kept his promise, and Abraham passed the test. Aren't we glad? Many don't last the journey. Many don't go on the 3-day trip. They listen to others. They get dissuaded. They give up believing that God is with them and that they can trust him. Some fall at the first hurdle. Some fall at the last lap. God is saying, trust me. Take me by the hand and trust me. So what might we need to lay down? Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's toxic thinking. Only you know what that is. But let me tell you something. When you lay something down for God, he will replace it with his blessing. You can trust him. So allow me to finish with this, paraphrasing some of the gospel. And then Jesus cried out in the garden, "Not thine, but yours, Father." And then the Father got two pieces of wood and he shaped them and hammered them into a cross. Then he nailed his son's hands and feet to the wood. He watched as his son's life drained out of him. And when the time came, he allowed him to die. Why did he not step in and save this boy's life? Why? Well, because we wouldn't be free otherwise. We wouldn't be here today, a sinner saved by grace. The Father freely gave all that was precious to him for us. He laid it all down for us. So as we bring this installment, this final installment of Abraham to a close this evening, who was Abraham? Abraham was described as a righteous man. We are saying he is a hero of the faith. He was referred to as a friend of God. He went through many ups and downs. He stumbled and he fell. However, he remained faithful to the end to the Father. And after all of those years in the wilderness, the one whom he obeyed all those years ago called him friend. He trusted God and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was a friend of the Most High King. What about you? Do you know that you are a friend of God? Is it time to leave it all behind? Is it time to let everything go? Is it time that we started to pray real prayers and lift everything up? Perhaps it's your time to cast everything out, to let go of the sin and the shame that binds you, to embrace the spirit of new within you. And what is God saying tonight? It's time to lay it all down. So what do you need to lay down at the foot of Jesus tonight? What do you need to lay down at the cross tonight? We just want to allow you a bit of response time this evening. Gabriella's going to lead us in a song. You can remain seated. You might want to close your eyes, open up your palms. You can kneel. You can pray. This is your time. No one's going to intervene. No one's going to come and pray over you. The cross will be available at the end if you want prayer. But this is your time. Just as Gabriella sings this song over us, you just take the time just to lay it all down. Lay it in the Master's hands. He is the promise keeper. He is our faithful Father. And I'll pray at the end.